for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com
or LHBCOnline.com.
There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, April 6, 1980. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Easter meetings. Marcus Haggard of Yorktown, Indiana, is a speaker of the afternoon.
Now, Father, we just loose into every mind here the spirit of wisdom, as in Ephesians 1:17. We loose into every mind the spirit of knowledge and open the eyes of our understanding, Father, so that we might truly see Your Scripture as it is. And, Father, we ask that all of us come into the realization of the great power that we are to have. That's Paul's prayer to the Christians of Ephesus, and I think it's still a valid prayer. Now, we're going to have an agreement of minds. You see, the dangerous thing about passing literature ahead of time is that some people just sit and read right through it, regardless of what you're saying. That's why most people won't pass literature. But what we're going to do is have an agreement of mind, and we're not going to look at that stuff. We're going to just lay it in our laps, and we're just going to discuss it point by point and make the proper notations by pen and pencil on the point. Now, most of the scriptures are printed in the material so that you can have them at home and so that we don't have to refer to the Bible and can speed through them faster, you see. We need to travel in a kind of a consistent order to make time. We're going to relax and enjoy this and then go right to ministry, but I want to point out some vital scriptures as to the restoration of our mind, as to the freeing of our children's minds, as the freeing of our family from bondage and keeping them free. The Scripture set out the fact that we are to protect our mind, that the battlefield is in the mind, and that Satan does have access to our mind because he can pick out the word. In Luke 8, it says that Satan can pick the word out of our mind, and so he has access to our mind. One of the bad teachings that's come out of some of the preachers and churches and so forth is that Satan can't read our minds. But I want to tell you, he can read you like a book and read me like a book. And anytime you think that you have to say it for Satan to understand it, I wonder why the Lord gave us tongues to bypass our understanding, see. But Satan can tell what you're thinking. He can inject thoughts in your mind, and he can take thoughts out of your mind, and he can pick things out of your subconscious memory. He can put things in there, and he can take things out of your conscious mind, the facts and so forth. We're just simply going to use the front of this sheet, protecting your mind, shows a little man. And we're going to have, there's about 3 points on here I want you to circle. And one is the helmet of salvation and the hope of salvation. They both protect the mind. They protect the head. And then notice the shield of faith can be moved up to protect the head also. It protects all parts of the body. And then if we'll move to the first page of protecting your mind, the printed material, we're just going to go down here, and the battlefield is in your mind, is your mind, and either you control it and protect it, or the devil has a part or all of it. Now, if you want to really introduce your mind openly to Satan, then you practice the presence of God by wait upon the Lord to answer your request for prayer and tell you what to do by sitting still with a blank mind. The Bible never in any way indicates that you're to let your mind go blank and wait upon the Lord. What this means is practicing the presence of God came from a I don't know where it came from, but anyway, it is. There's no way that you should sit around doing that. In the first place, you don't feel God. I mean, after a while, I know you see the results and everything, but your senses are worldly senses, and they're influenced by the devil, and the devil has access to them, and he can deceive you through them. Now, the only thing that has access to God is your spirit. And your spirit is just like a radio antenna. When you're born again, your spirit goes up. It's alive. It's laying in there like a little dead baby. Then when Jesus touches it and quickens it, you again have a spirit that is reaching up towards God and can be in communication to God. Now, to grow that spirit, it needs spiritual exercise. And one of the spiritual exercises is to speak in tongues, because that's in communication with God, and that'll flex your muscle of your spirit and cause it to grow. Everything God planned is the more you use it, the better it gets. And the more you use your tongues, 2 or 3 hours a day if possible, while you're driving down the road, if you don't have tongues, well, search till you get tongues. There's many things that block tongues, but witchcraft and occult mainly. Huh? The only place you use your mind in speaking in tongues is to cause yourself to speak in tongues, but you can shut them off and start them at your will. You must be in control of your gifts. God does not ever take you out of control of yourself. He wants you in total control. You can start your tongues, you can stop your tongues, you can stop your gifts and start your gifts. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That's scriptural. Now, the devil compels. Anything you are compelled to do is not of God. God wants you as a strong free will agent. He wants your choice to choose Him, even though He says, I have chosen you, see? But He wants your choosing of which gifts you're going to use. He wants your control of your tongues. And then the other spiritual exercise to grow your spirit, a good one, Evan Roberts says in War on the Saints, is deliverance. And you can, when you're in deliverance and you're working with the Holy Spirit, the scripture is about, Luke 11, 20 or 22, and I'm just going to go through it quickly, and somebody can check out and see if that's the right one, and then if it is. But you see, Jesus, He says, if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, you see, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now, He said, when the Holy Spirit, when the strong man occupies, his goods are in peace. Which means that when the strong man is in control, everything has a strong man. This campground has a strong man from the devil. This building has a strong man from the devil. This area right here has a strong man from the devil. I have a strong man in me, an evil spirit that's in control of every other evil spirit in me. That's a strong man. That's an order that comes down from Lucifer himself, according to the authorities and empires, principalities, and it goes right down into your children. If you have children, well, that's okay. They'll have a strong man when you do have one, see? And He said, then if I bind the strong man, am I right on that scripture? 20:21. Is that about right? All right, Luke 11:21. If you want to mark that. Now, it's important to understand this scripture because it's describing deliverance. See, the strong man, He says, the strong man, if a stronger than he comes upon him, He says, as long as nobody bothers that strong man, his goods are in peace. What's his goods? Me. Controlled by the evil spirit that he controls. And so, he's at peace because nobody's bothering him, and he manipulates me, and many things about my personality that my mother thinks cute. And I'm just like Uncle Charlie, and my temper's just like Uncle Bill, and my tantrums are just like Aunt May had, and I'm going to get sugar diabetes just like Uncle Harry had, and my heart trouble when I got at 55, well, that was just like Uncle Bill had, see. So many things about my characteristics and personalities are already, as far as she's concerned, perfectly acceptable, because the goods are at peace, and the strong man's in control, and he's just bringing them up as I'll accept them. So he's just bringing them up, and I accept the medical facts. I expect the family, accept the family history. I expect the, well, I'm a little screwy, you know. Yeah, well, his granddad was just like that. Wild ideas, you know, just off on this and off on that, and Marcus is just like him. Yeah, sure enough. The strong man's goods are at peace. All right, now, when a stronger one comes upon him, which is the Holy Spirit, he taketh away all the armor of the strong man. Now, this is Scripture. It's not quite word for word, but this is what Scripture says. Have you found it, sir? Luke 11:21. See, this describes deliverance. Jesus Christ was describing deliverance. And when the stronger than he comes upon him, he taketh away all his armor, which are the evil spirits of anger, of diabetes, of temper, of off on this and impulsiveness, and anxiety, and worry, and heart trouble. Then, sister, would you read the last, what Jesus finally said in that last, in the verse, the last sentence in that scripture? Okay. Who's going to divide the spoils? Start at the top. See, this is a hard teaching, and it hasn't been taught at all. But the stronger one that came upon the strong man has now taken away all the armor in which the strong man or the evil strong man trusted, and then the one that came upon that strong man, which is the Holy Spirit, divideth the spoils. Now see, spoils, we don't use that word anymore, but spoils means the treasure, the reward, what's left. Now, what is left after I'm delivered? Me. The Holy Spirit's got me then, see? And He's dividing. He can use me. See, in that one verse, Jesus described the deliverance and why. The Holy Spirit has that person and can use me. Does that make sense? Praise the Lord. Just mark that and circle it and pray over it and ask the Holy Spirit to show it to you. And then that is the most wonderful teaching of Jesus in the shortest period of time that you'll ever find on deliverance and why it, and the results of it, you see. Okay? Now, either you control and protect your mind or the devil has a part or all of it. Do you know how the Scriptures say you can keep the devil out? Number one, protect your mind, protect your children's mind, and protect the mind of the newly delivered. But you have to work at it, and here's the steps you take. Number one, you need to be born again and saved. There's a lot of people think they're saved that aren't. There's a lot of people think they've got salvation and fire insurance, and they don't have anything. And that's a shame. You ask somebody if they're saved, and they say, well, I reckon. But it'll only work for the truly saved person. Only the truly saved person can receive from God. See, and of course, another thing that's dangerous about telling people that is what? The devil tries to talk them out of their salvation once they have it. And he'll tell you you're not worthy and you don't have it and so forth. And that's a dangerous teaching. Why is it important that you have your salvation? Because in 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, along about the... Let's try... Anybody going to look that up right quick? Along about the 12th verse, 1 Corinthians... 2nd chapter, but the natural man receiveth nothing of God. 14th verse. Praise God. Who said 14th? The natural man receiveth nothing of God, you see. In other words, the man that's not born again can't receive anything of God. But go ahead and read the rest of it.
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God.
Praise God. Right. So... just check your children's salvation. I don't care how many times you have to go over and over. and get them into an atmosphere where they're going to see miracles and signs and wonders. And, you know, deliverance is called a miracle by the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, He calls it a miracle. And it's listed as miracles in all the Bibles. And deliverance is a miracle. So if you want to be a miracle worker, just be a deliverance worker. That's all. And you'll see other things along with it. The power of healing and everything always goes along with deliverance. You must become a believer. It only works for the believer. In John 14:12, we discussed that. Break the bondage of Satan over the aware and unaware mind and command all bonds of chains and steel and hair and wire and snakes and serpent to be cast out, cut off, and removed in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we sometimes call for the Father to send angels to do this. Now, those renunciation and warfare prayers you have, a family ought to go through them occasionally, maybe daily, maybe weekly, but just sit around and have a little fun and do those as a family unit. If you're by yourself, do them by yourself. Now, break your soul ties, break away from the mind-altering medicines, Valium and Librium and so forth, even though they are legally prescribed for a purpose to control anxiety and care and so forth. It doesn't make any difference. They're sorcery, according to the Bible. They are witchcraft. And like we said the other day, it's no different than calling up the local witch doctor or a charmer or someone like that and paying 50 cents to cast a spell on you. It's the same deal. Only an MD prescribed it. Now, the thing of it is, this is a good place. Do you have the daily binding and loosing prayers? Okay, the daily binding and loosing prayers gives you a set program for your household every day and you every day. In Muncie, we started a program where we try to get a believer in every block of Muncie to bind a strong man. Let's see, your daily binding and loosing prayers are not your warfare prayers. There you have. Binding and loosing in the home. Now, you can also bind and loose in the business, and we didn't bring those sheets. But what you do, you daily. Now, somebody asked, what will I do about the children? There have been time and time people here say, what will I do about my kids? Well, the father in authority of the home takes these daily binding and loosing prayers and starts at the top and say, I bind the strong man over my city. I bind the strong man over my block. I bind the strong man over every home in this block and over this home. And then over every member of my family. See, your marriage has a strong man over it. And don't you worry. Your marriage has been bombarded by divorce spirits and marriage-breaking spirits by curses and everything else that's been put upon you. That's planned by the devil himself. And all marriages are being bombarded now with marriage-breaking spirits. So that's why the strong man should be bound. And then you start to loose. After you've bound everything, you start to loose the spirits of God. And they're listed there. And these spirits of God will bring your kids' grades by breaking the bondage on the mind. And by breaking the bondage on the subconscious and aware mind, you'll bring your kids' grades right up. I tell you, there's nothing surer than breaking the bondage on a student's mind to bring his grades up. And he doesn't have to do anything else. But my boy was delivered of a spirit of a confusion to take tests. He could get all the grades and all the study and everything. And when he was delivered of when they laid the test in front of him, his mind went blank. My other boy, he got sick, threw up, vomited. And when the demons were cast out of Ted, this mind confusion spirit, they asked him what the purpose was. He said, my purpose is just to confuse him on tests. Now, the bondage on the mind must be broken. Deliverance from all those confusion and forgetfulness, they're all listed there. Break the spirits of poverty. Cast out the spirits of lack and want and need and greed and automatic failure mechanisms the devil has put there. Familiar spirits come down through family lines as poverty and lack and want and lack of self-esteem, not having any confidence in yourself, feeling of unworthiness, feeling of guilt and shame. They all come down through the family, and most of them travel on witchcraft. Most of them are introduced into the families by witchcraft. Charming, spells, hexes, vexes, and so forth. Now, the spirits of God should be loosed, and I told a group this morning, and I think most of you were there, but I just tell you, we want time to minister, and we're just going, but the Lord's just laying it on my heart to tell you these things. The spirits of God are warriors. Now, when you have a hopeless case, when you have somebody that is difficult to, well, get through to, that seems to be unwilling, that seems to just simply resist you, and your kids, maybe you're in a state of rebellion, continue to loose, bind the strong man, and loose the spirits of God in them. 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 Loose into them daily. Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. Wisdom, counsel, might. They're all listed right there in Isaiah 11:2. Just loose daily. And I was given a talk at the Hegwish Church in a workshop. And I said, Father, I need a good example as to why we are loosing these spirits of God into people. I said, you don't see anything happen to speak of, but I did it to my children. Mary's a straight A student practically, a few B's once in a while. Rachel Ann is a straight A student. And I tell you, we use angels in the classrooms. I send angels every morning to create favor between her and the students and the faculty, and to protect them and guide them. See, our right on Hebrews 1:14 is to ask the Father to send angels. It says, are they not ministering spirits to minister for the heirs of salvation? We ask the Father to send angels to do what we can't do and to be where we can't be. The only reason we don't have more is because we don't ask the Father to send more angels. If you have family in Alaska and you want to bless them or keep them quiet or influence them, you just say, Father, I send angels up there to soften the heart towards me and create favor for me and create whatever you want done. Listen, you're a child of God. You got great power. You're the greatest thing, even if you don't believe all this stuff. Jesus Christ made a reservation. Even the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. And he's greater than anything in the Bible. So you got that to stand on, see? So start small and get big. Grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Well, it was about 5 o'clock in the morning. I said, Father, what are we loosing the spirits in these people for? He says, well, look, I gave you the fact, Psalms 104:4, he maketh his angels spirits. He maketh his angels spirits. What's a spirit? It's breath. Not breath, but it's like breath. You can't see it. You can breathe a spirit in. You can blow a spirit out. Thank the Lord we can blow them out. Now, but a spirit of the Lord you can take in. Spirit of wisdom, how are you going to get the spirit of wisdom in you? You're going to breathe it in. It's got to come in some way. And it's just like breath, just like this air in this room. How did you get the spirit of nicotine in you, if any of you have ever had the spirit of nicotine? You sucked it in, right, with a cigarette smoke one day when you didn't think it was there. Now, the spirits of God go into a person like breath. Now, then he said, remember the scripture that I am the Lord of hosts. Hosts in the original language means army. A great host of warriors, battlers, as arrayed for war. Remember that psalm that he was teaching us this morning said, I am mighty in battle. My Lord is mighty in battle. Do you remember that? Okay. Now, he says, just tell them it's like dumping maggots in a wound. I said, Lord, I can't say that. That's awful. But he didn't say any more. And that's the only thing I ever had, and it's the best when. So I started to tell that. I was obedient. And so I said, when you lose spirits of God into a person that's possessed and real bad shape, it's just like putting, I had to explain maggot therapy. Now, in Vietnam, when they had a boy on the battlefield with a hole blown out of his back, you see, and the medics come across him, and they were going to ship him, they shipped him all to San Francisco. They took a pint of maggots and dumped them in that wound and just put a cover over it, just put a bandage over it. Now, maggots have one characteristic. That thing was full of blood and pus and corruption and just debris. When that boy got in the San Francisco hospital and they took that cover off, the blood and the pus and the corruption had been eaten by the maggots, but they won't eat live flesh. They just cleaned that wound up, and it was all ready to heal. Oh, thank you, Lord. See, when you lose the spirits of God into a person that seems hopeless, and you do it day after day after day after day, you're sending God's warriors in there that's eating out that corruption. They're warriors. Isn't that wonderful? See, the Lord fixed everything. The Lord has planned everything. Oh, isn't that right, brother? Amen. Isn't that something? How can we lose? Only by quitting. Only by giving up, see? But you know what faith means, really? Faith means that you believe that the Lord will do everything He said He'd do in that Bible. That's what faith is, see? So we have the tools. Okay, I am going to just simply, due to lack of time, we're just simply going to ask you to study these at home, but I'm going to give you two keys in protecting your mind. One is the helmet of salvation. Let's turn to the second page, the middle page, where it says Ephesians 6:11 at the top. Now, Ephesians 6:11 at the top of the page, and right in the middle of protecting your mind, continue, it says, you should know that wiles of Satan means plans of Satan. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ and get full of the Holy Spirit, the devil looks down the road about a year. And so he says, now this person's going to grow in the Lord. Her mother and father are teaching her in the Lord. Okay. He looks, the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He looks down the road. He says, now that person's going to grow in the Lord. Their mother and father are both half on it. And that kid's a minor and the mother and the father. And he's going to really grow in the Lord. So down the road a year, the devil gets a wile ready. Wile means plans of the devil. So he gets, this boy becomes a preacher and gets married. And they're real happy. Just great. And the devil into his congregation plants a cute little blonde. And so, this cute little blonde is part of the wiles of the devil. Now, his plan is to ruin the boy, see, as a child of God. So, this boy gets bold in his preaching, strong in the Lord, powerful. This little blonde says, oh, your sermons are so wonderful. I just love the way you teach. Part of the congregation, she teaches Sunday school class. She's just right in there, you know. But sweet and smells good. And then she says, I have some problems. Could I see you after church? Why, sure you could. Well, you know, I just feel so much better around you. You know, I just feel secure. You're the only person I feel I can trust. You know, my mother didn't understand me. My father didn't understand me. And I just really feel as though that I can trust you. So, he gets the counseling with her. You know the rest of the story. The Lord tells him to divorce his wife and marry this girl and stuff like that. And then the church is split up and the devil, the wiles of the devil. See, if he can't trap you with pornography, if he can't trap you with corruption and drinking and smoking, if you've turned your back on all that, then he's going to trap you either on a weak point like that, or else he may convince you that you, well, what he does to a lot of people is he gets them to prophesying. And churches actually have got so heavy in prophesying because they're so full of the Spirit and everything, you know, and they don't know the devil's there. They figure that since I'm full of the Holy Spirit, surely the devil couldn't stay around, could he? Why, you're full of the Holy Spirit. How could an evil spirit stay close to you? Is there any scripture to support that the Christian can't have a demon? There's no scripture that says he cannot, you see. So, the devil gets in that church, and the spirit of prophesying gets in that church, and somebody stands up and says, honey, I have a prophecy for you. You should leave your husband. One preacher in one of our churches, a lady came to us for ministry here a while back, and 5 years ago, a preacher had prophesied over her, I see you in a wheelchair. That's the truth. And she came to us because her legs were going bad. She received that prophecy, you see. Now, the thing of it is, God has good prophecies. God has prophets. God uses that. Man, I'm telling you, all the gifts are in operation. But what do we need to protect ourselves against? The wiles of the devil.
Yeah.
We need to recognize him, see. We need to recognize him in our church, in our life, in our group, in our fellow man. And I'm just going to come down here. And the first thing to do is to be sure you identify what your salvation is, and that's the whole ball of wax. Hope has been changed. The meaning of hope has been changed in the fact that hope originally meant a positive, firm expectation of it to happen, and hope has been changed to a wish. See, I hope we go to Kansas Christmas. I hope we go to Aunt Mary's Sunday. I wish. That's what hope means now. But in the Bible, hope meant a confident expectation that the Word of God would be carried out in my life and every promise was true and He'd do everything that I asked Him to do, just like He said He would. See, that's hope. Now, that's part of your helmet, you see. And it comes down to it that the best helmet is optimism, no cares, no worry, no anxiety, and a firm belief in the Lord that you are in authority. See? But the devil will flip in anxiety and all that, and it's a crack in your armor. Now, you have the Scriptures receiving the mind of Christ. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on that, except that if you'll read these and go through them in order, it'll show you that you really are to have the intellect of Christ. Receiving the mind of Christ is a list of Scriptures that start you in at Adam and end up with what you are to have in overhauling your mind. How many didn't get that?
I didn't.
Okay. Well, here, we're going to pass them out. I just wanted to check and see if you were alert. See, we talked just a little bit last night about restoring your mind. And we are truly to have the mind of Christ. And if you'll go through these Scriptures, it will actually show you that we are to clean up our own mind. We are to put the old man off and put the new man on. And Colossians 3:10, which you have a copy of, says this, that after we put the new man on, being renewed in the spirit of our mind, we have the knowledge of our Creator. That's what it says. Yeah, it's in there. It's printed right in there. We have the knowledge. Now, when it says you have the mind of Christ, there in 1 Corinthians 2:16, I believe it is, 1 Corinthians 2:16. See, somebody's going to talk you out of this because they're going to say, well, now, mind does not mean your brain. It's an attitude. It is your attitude towards things. It is your, the way you think. But I looked this word up in the original language in 1 Corinthians 2:16, can you find that right quick and see if, let's see if we're right. 2:14. Oh, yeah, but ye have the mind of Christ. Yeah, 2:14. Who wants to read that just for fun? Okay. 2:16 then. There we go. Go ahead. All right. I looked that word up. You see, it says, but we have the mind of Christ. You know what the original language says? Intellect. You have the intellect of Christ. And the only thing that stands between me and a genius rating plus is the bondage that Satan's put on my mind. The bondage. Now, that's why your kids, see, we delivered, I tell you, we were just amazed. People had come to us, like I told you, that couldn't take those warfare prayers. And after we got all the bondage off their mind and deliverance done, they're brilliant people. One lady, Miss Love, came to us, and she couldn't even think. She had 3 months to live. One kidney, weighed 400 and some pounds. Just a walking disaster. A walking pathology laboratory. A mess mentally. And they recently, she decided to get her high school diploma, and she was doing some typing in the office for us and everything about 3 years. It was 3 years after we started working with her. And you know what her IQ was when she went to take her test? 160 IQ. Do you know what they told her? They said, look, you're paying for this. You just well enjoy it because it's a government program. See, they go back to the career center, and then they go to this vocational rehabilitation stuff, And they gave her these tests, and this lady sat her down and said, "Honey, now remember, this is that woman's going to die in 3 months, 3 years ago, and a literal just nervous like that, you know, and couldn't stand anything, bawling all the time." And they told her this. Now, after her deliverance, remember, this 3 years later, they said, "Honey," after they found out her rating was 160, they said, "Honey, the world is your oyster. You can go anything and become anything you want to become and will pay for." Now, they were talking about becoming an MD, medical technician, whatever she wanted, whatever course she wanted to take, they said she could pass and take and study, and they'd pay the tuition. You know what you can credit all that to? Deliverance. She could have laid on the altar and bawled and squalled and kicked her heels and cried out to the Lord, and he'd have told her just what he told Moses when he was facing the water and the Egyptians behind him and 3 million children back there, and he says, "Hey, Lord, you know, what am I going to do?" And the Lord looked down at him and says, "Why criest thou to me?" The Lord actually told Moses that. He says, "Why criest thou to me? Lift your rod." That's where the power is. See, Moses didn't know what he had in that rod. We don't know what we have from the spoken word of God and taking authority in the Lord and through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and seeking His power in our lives to break the bondage on our children's minds, to break the bondage of, well, Protestantism, break the bondage of witchcraft, break the bondage of anything you want to break the bondage off of there, however it's been put on. You have the authority. You have the power, but you have to do it. There's no question but what the Father in a home is powerful. He's got to keep the devil out. He's got to keep his kids clean. Oh, how wonderful it is. When I found that out at first, it scared me to death. It really frightened me to think I was supposed to be, you know, woman's lib has been pretty potent. They have sold the man in America that if the woman wants to run the home, we'll let her run it. And if he doesn't let her run it, well, I'm not really doing right. She's got an equal say. Everything's half hers, everything, you know, and all this stuff. But God says He is the head of the home like Jesus Christ is head of the church. He's the one to do the praying. He's the one to do the fighting. He's the one to come against the devil. He's the one that's a shield of His children and everything. Oh, it's wonderful. Lord, we thank You for everything You have done. And you know what the Lord showed me this afternoon? Oh, you know, you're always kind of worried about whether He's going to furnish everything you need. And I just sat over there, and I was just talking to Him, and He said, "What are you worried about?" You know, and you know what He showed me? It's the first time He's ever showed me anything like that. But He just showed me angels going and coming from heaven, just swarming over this place. Whatever you need today from the Lord, you're going to get it. Praise God. The power's here. So just get ready.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com or LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.